listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome. You are listening to Viral Podcasting. This is show number 37. Well, there are a lot of people all over the world doing podcasting. I wouldn't say it's sweeping the world, but it's gently tumbling it, perhaps. And one of the best out there is a person I've come to know recently. His name is Colin Gray, and the website is thepodcasthost.com. Colin, you have been podcasting since 2011. We kind of started right around the same time. And how did you wind up getting into this journey?
I actually, do you know what? My first podcast was actually back in about 2008. And the website started in 2011 because the 2008 one was really me teaching people at university. So I was working at a university in Edinburgh in Scotland and teaching lecturers how to use podcasting as a teaching tool to help their students to learn more effectively. And I just totally fell in love with the platform because it was, or the medium I should say, because I loved how easy it was to get your word out, your personality out, how much more natural it is to speak rather than to write, and how much more natural and easy it is to create audio rather than video as well. So it was just my medium. And as I was teaching for 3 or 4 years, somewhere between 2008, 2011, I started to just want to get it out beyond higher education, like universities that I was working in. And that's why I started the website, the podcast host, more as a hobby than anything else. It was to write about the equipment, the processes, the skills that I was learning. And I was just lucky enough that over the few years following that, that people started to find it, started to enjoy the content and learn along with me. And the site grew a following well enough that I managed to jump out of my education job back in about 2014, 15-ish, and start doing this full time. So that's really brought me to where I am today.
Hey, so a lot of people look at podcasting, they're thinking about it, whatever, they get put off by the technical hurdles. And probably what stopped me from doing a podcast 4 years earlier, finally I said, well, how hard can it be? What was your experience with acquiring the technical mastery or expertise to produce a quality podcast?
Well, I mean, I have to admit that that's kind of what drew me in, because I'm a bit of a gadget geek when it comes to it. So I quite enjoy playing around with shiny things. So that kind of came naturally to me, I suppose. Do you know what? That's not fair. It didn't come naturally, but I enjoyed playing around with them well enough that I spent hours and hours learning, you know, how mics work, how mixers work, all that kind of stuff. But I do totally get the kind of the fear that people get when they come across, try to choose the best microphone or find out what a mixer is or figure out the software you need for this, because there's so much, it's really complex in some ways. But in other ways, actually, it's really simple, because you can pull out your smartphone, record into, you know, a smartphone actually, and it's a decent enough signal to get a podcast out there in the early days. You upgrade that with a really simple USB mic, like the ATR 2100 or the Samsung Q2U, and suddenly your quality jumps right up and it's not adding that much complexity. So a lot of the work we do these days with podcasters is sort of demystifying the fear of the tech, of showing them how simple it can be and helping people keep things simple, because they shouldn't really follow the path that I did, that possibly you did, Kerry, that, you know, you get into the tech and make it complicated, because, you know, some people like that complexity, that equipment. Most people should keep it simple forevermore, because actually the simpler it is, the less things break, the more content you can put out there. You can concentrate on the content, the planning, the presentation skills rather than the tech. And that's what we generally advise people.
Yeah. So a simple ATR USB mic and a program to record it, Audacity, which is free on all platforms. I personally use Audition. But it's funny, I was using GarageBand with no effects and no intro or outro. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just taking a radio show I was doing and just putting it up there. And 20 people downloaded it. Probably half of them were related to me. And it was a little frustrating at first, because you think if you build it, they will come. and they don't necessarily. So then you get to the next phase is like, how do you get people to listen to a new podcast?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the key?
Yeah. I mean, I think people jump to, there's a bunch of standard approaches. Like people always say, oh, you need to interview loads of folk and try and draw from their audience. And there's lots of kind of stock answers here. I think a lot of that audience discovery comes back to generally how you build an audience in any way online, because a lot of podcast discovery actually comes down to making decent show notes that are found outside of the podcast world. Like you can create a great show, you can create great content, you can do a bit of the keyword targeting in iTunes or wherever it is, Apple Podcasts or any other platforms, and you'll be found in that way. But we're always aiming, you know, you're not aiming for the biggest picture there, because the biggest picture is really actually finding people that are just wanting answers to your questions in general. So for example, I run a mountain biking podcast, just a hobby that I have. And every time we do a mountain biking episode on that show for Mountain Bikes Apart, then I'll create a blog post that actually is a summary of that podcast episode. I do it maybe 500 to 1,000 words. So it's a proper lengthy blog post. And I make sure that every single one of those episodes is answering a really particular question, something that people are really asking out there in the world. That blog post then goes on to the website as the show notes for the show. And actually a big part of that then is, you know, it's general web SEO, it's search engine optimization. It's getting found in Google when people type in, what is the best mountain bike under $500? And that's how a lot of people find our shows. That's how we find a lot of growth in a way that's not really expected of a podcaster. It's through text. Mm-hmm. So people find us via text, via the search engines, they find this article, and then they listen to the podcast. And that's what draws them in. So they find us via text, but they actually engage with us. They get to know us through the podcast, and then they tell other people about it. So I always say, I mean, that's something it's outside of the world of podcasting possibly, but I think that's one of the biggest wins that a lot of podcasters can achieve, is if you just start creating better show notes, thinking about those questions that are common, answering them, and making sure you're putting in keywords that people are really searching for in your show notes, you'll be found much more that way.
Interesting. Well, my show, I put out like 12 episodes a week. You know, they're half hour. It's a little hard to get into the art of show notes, but sometimes I'll write an article, and then I will actually do a podcast, kind of not reading the article, but covering it. Mm-hmm. So interview techniques, you know, do you do interviews on your shows?
I have done many interviews in the past. Yes. Yeah. No, I don't run any shows right now that are solely interviews, but we have done many.
So many people find that to be extremely challenging to come up with proper interview technique.
Yes.
There's not a lot of books out there about it.
Yeah.
I found exactly three or four, and they're horrible. The only good one I ever found really didn't deal with interviews. It was a book by Barbara Walters called How to Talk to Anybody About Anything. Yeah. And that was about the best book on the topic. But I just hear people interviewing, and it's very difficult for it's a medium, it's difficult to master it. What advice can you give to somebody who's just starting out doing interviews?
I think one of the biggest things in the early days with interviews is to realize how much of a skill it is. So realize how hard it is to do a good interview show. And that leads to a few things. That firstly leads to, I think nearly everyone out there, especially in the early days, needs to commit to not just putting out interviews as a whole, as most people do. It's so hard to conduct a 10, 20, 30 hour long interview and just put the whole thing out there and for it to be all interesting. So most people in the early days, I think they need to commit to the fact that they're going to have to go through that interview and cut out some highlights. They're going to have to take a half hour interview and actually cut it down to 15 or 20 minutes. And it doesn't take a huge amount of time to do that if you do a few different approaches. For example, you can save a lot of time in doing that by getting a transcription. So you can use any of the automated transcription services these days, generally only about 10 cents a minute. So you can get like a really short show, a 30 minute show. What would that be? $3 sort of thing to get that transcribed. Mm-hmm. So it's not too expensive. You can take that transcript, read through it, skim through it, and just highlight the bits that you think are the most interesting and cut them out and make a shorter interview show. I think that's one thing you can do. And that's a good way to start to see, you know, the good stuff that comes out. It kind of teaches you what good interview content is. It shows you the parts that maybe aren't so interesting because you're reviewing your own work. And I think that starts to teach you how to do it more in real time. Because obviously the aim long term is to get to a stage where you can actually sort of do that on the fly. You can edit it on the fly. 20, 30 episodes in, you've done plenty of interviews and you can start to do more of this and actually vet the content as it's coming out. And that's the second part of it for me. So the early days, it's that editing side of things. And the later days, it's the live editing. And that to me means really taking ownership over your show and not being afraid to interrupt people, to direct people, which means that if somebody's speaking for too long, like possibly I am right now, then you kind of would jump in and say, do you know what? Some of this would be interesting. I really liked what you said here. Could we delve into just that part of it instead? Taking ownership over your show and actually directing people like that, telling people when they're going off track, knowing what your audience enjoys and really keeping the show to that. And a lot of people struggle with that because they're afraid of offending people, but it's your show, it's your audience, you know the best. Mm-hmm. And those people that you're interviewing should know as well that they'll come across more effectively, they'll come across better if you help them to do that.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree with you. I kind of just had a knack for it myself. Look, by the time you've hit your late teens, you've watched tens of thousands of interviews on television, you've listened to them on the radio, YouTube, whatever. You're so exposed to it, you actually innately know the keys to a good interview, but you've never become conscious of what they are. And then when you actually, the first time I ever interviewed anybody, it was so funny. I was totally ill-prepared. It was totally spontaneous. I took my iPhone. I had a mitt for it, a little noise muffler, windscreen. And I just started asking people questions. And, you know, it was so funny. Like it was just like a natural thing. But keeping the tempo of that, the rhythm of the interview, I find to be essential. And the point you were talking about of self-editing before, that's what a great interviewer has to do to keep people interested. Because really, when you edit up and doctor an interview after the fact, people know, not consciously, they know you're leaving something out. And then there becomes a trust issue. So it's real important to master the unabridged interview, with the exception of any technical stuff pops, or some people click their tongue, some people sound like they're gargling. You know, you got to fix that kind of thing. But the idea of pulling out every breath of an interview makes it very unnatural and makes it very jerky. It makes you a little anxious when you hear that kind of person, even though you're not really conscious of the breaths.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that people do in the early days as well. They think they have to edit out all their ums and their ahs and all that kind of stuff. But do you know what? A lot of people get in touch with us and say, how can I stop saying so much? And the best thing for that, I think, is to commit to not editing, is to commit to doing your show live. And you know, when you're conscious of the fact that you're not going to cut these out, suddenly you start thinking about it a lot more. It takes a few episodes to get through it, but on the other side, it means it improves your speaking style. Much better to improve your presentation skills, your speaking style, to be conscious of these things, to combat them, than to figure out how to edit every single one. It's a lot more sustainable, certainly.
Yeah, and you're not trying for perfection. That's what you have to realize. Another technique I like to do is write the show notes before the interview, right? Mm. You know what you're going to speak with. It focuses you really well. I know people use bullet points. They use a whole different array of tools. Sometimes you write one sentence out, but you know, whatever it takes to focus you. So you have got a new website coming out to exclusively for podcast production. Can you share that with us?
Indeed, yeah. It's a tool called Alitu. So we spell it A-L-I-T-U, alitu.com. And it is a tool that it really is designed to combat a bunch of the questions and concerns that a lot of our audience have. Like, so many people get in touch with us having trouble with editing, really, production, dealing with that audio after the fact. So they've done the recording, there's some pops in there, there's a bit of noise, or there's some mistakes they need to edit out. But a lot of the people that we work with, not that they can't do the technology, they can't learn it, but they don't have the interest in it. They don't want to spend the time to learn Audition or Audacity or anything like that. So we've created Alitu, which is a tool that you upload some raw audio to. It will take out some of the noise. It will normalize it to make it sound good. The levels will all be fine. It'll add your intro and your outro music, so you can add a theme to the start and the end. And then it'll publish it for you to Libsyn or to Blueberry or to any of the big hosts out there. We've also got an editing tool in there as well, so a really simple way to edit out mistakes, either trim the show to take off the bits at start and the end, or to actually edit out mistakes in the middle. And then we've got an episode builder that lets you put together, you know, two or three of these clips and put some transitions in between as well. So we're hoping that basically it'll be a tool that lets anyone create a podcast really quickly, really easy, either automating the whole thing. You know, you upload your audio, you press publish, and it just does it. It does all the noise reduction, the theme tunes, or you do a wee bit of editing to take out some mistakes, but actually it saves so much time in that.
It sounds like much needed, because one of the major problems with podcasting, a problem in quotes, but a YouTube, any idiot with a phone and a camera can do a YouTube and post it immediately. Obviously, the production values are going to be low, but it doesn't seem like that's necessarily a big barrier on YouTube. But yeah, when you want to put up a podcast, if you want to do it right, yeah, you could do it with no intro or outro, no editing. But, you know, Cliff Ravenscraft once said, high production values will not get people to listen to your show, but it will get them to come back again and again.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it sounds like you've really identified a need in the market. You know, look, if I could get 85% of what I do, having a producer do most of it with this, then it would make a lot of sense. And it sounds really good. And you can add your own branding to this as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you're right. That's what we're hoping. This isn't going to be a tool necessarily for the experts, for somebody who knows how to do all of their compression, their noise reduction, their de-essing, all that kind of thing. We're trying to make it simple for people who don't necessarily want all of that. It doesn't need to be absolutely and utterly perfect, tailored to every single episode, but it's going to make things sound great, and it's going to add your branding to it. And yeah, that's the idea. Just make it simple for individuals, for companies, for anyone who wants to podcast to get it out there on a consistent basis.
Okay. How do you spell the name of the site again? It's a little different.
Alitu.com.
Alitu.com.
Yeah.
Alitu. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Thank you. I know, not being able to spell, well, yes, it's slightly confusing in some ways. It's not ideal, but you know, all the good names are gone. So no, this is a good name. I'll say
it's a 5-letter domain name. So yes. That's not bad. That ain't bad. So yeah, it's a, definitely something needed, and demystifying, de-geekifying, if you will, the whole space. So somebody came to you today and said, I want to start a podcast, subject irrelevant. What would you tell them three things to do?
I think the best thing to start with, I think, is to think of your first season of a podcast. A lot of people think of podcasting as being, you know, a continuous thing forevermore. Seasons have become much more in vogue now with a lot of storytelling podcasts. But I think that just about anyone can benefit from thinking of their podcast in seasons. So when you're first planning out your show, I think a lot of people should think about it as season one is the kind of the introductory season. It's the one that answers the biggest questions question that you're always asked. So, for example, with us, a really big common question is, how do I get my first episode out into the world? So we did a first season, 10 episodes on the simplest steps you can take to get that podcast out. And that was over 10 episodes. And I think just about anyone can do that. So a solicitor, for example, we're working with, their first season was how to fire an employee. They did 8 episodes on how to sack one of your employees in a way that keeps you legally covered, does it ethically, all that kind of stuff. So anyone, I think, can start with a good season that covers a good topic in depth and really gives you this one chunky resource. And I think there's a few benefits to that. The first of which is the fact that it's compelling having a set of episodes all linked together. So you've got episodes that actually draw people to the next one. You know, I've got 8 episodes here, which is about how to fire an employee. The first one gives you a wee bit, the next one gives you the next bit. So you're learning as you go along and you're drawn to the next episode. The next bit is that it's self-contained. So you can say, right, it's not intimidating so much because I'm not starting a podcast now and then I'm going to do it forever, every single week, because that's intimidating. Instead, I'm going to do 8 episodes over 2 months and we're going to reevaluate how we do with it at that point. So that's great. It gives you the break at the end of it as well. I mean, that's another benefit of doing seasons. You can take a month off and people understand that they expect it. They look forward to your next season. So I think that's always the first thing that I talk about, is think of it as a season, treat that as a pilot project, get that season out there and then reevaluate it at the end of it. Is it worth your time? Did you enjoy it? Has it been something that's helped your business or you as an individual? And then you can decide whether you want to continue with it.
Yeah, interesting. So don't let the technical stuff be an obstacle.
Yes. Really, keep things as simple as possible. I mean, take that simplest possible approach, whether it is, like you say, it's that USB mic into the laptop, which keeps it really simple, or even, a simple microphone like the Rode SmartLav Plus. Sure. That's a great little microphone. Plug it into your iPhone, put it on your shirt, and then you can speak into that as well. And then you've got a simple audio file on your phone, which you can publish direct. I mean, even I even often tell people that it's worthwhile forgetting about too much editing in the early days. I mean,
yeah,
there has to be a minimum quality, so you can't go out there with something that's horrible, but you shouldn't worry too much about that, because those first 10 episodes are really, that's the experiment, it's the learning, it's figuring things out. And the best thing you can do at that point is stay consistent, to get lots of stuff out there. And all of that will give you the practice and the presentation skills and the content planning. And it's those things, not the microphone, not your hosting platform. It's the content planning. It's the presentation skills that will make people enjoy what you do and make them come back for more.
Yeah, well, that's the key. They're listening to you, well, first, because they like you, and second, for your content. Although the first, it's kind of hard to know where one begins and one ends, but for sure, you got to make yourself likable and you got to connect and all these other things. Well, Colin, I could talk to you forever about this, but we got to get going. So just give us your websites again and any other ways for people to contact you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd love to. Yeah, any questions you have, fire them on to Twitter. Is probably my easiest contact. Go onto Twitter and contact the podcast host. And the website is the same. It's thepodcasthost.com for all our free content. And if you did fancy checking out Alitu, we'd love to see you over there. It's Alitu.com. And you could sign up for a tryout of it there.
All right, Colin. Hey, well, got any questions for Colin, myself, be part of the show, just send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. We answer all. Colin, been a pleasure. Good luck on Alitu and good luck on the shows. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.